Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. Welcome back to another episode of Hacks and Hobbies. I'm your host, Junaid Ahmed, and today, wow, do we have a powerhouse guest with us. If you're a creator, podcaster, artist, or entrepreneur who's ever asked, wait, am I even legally allowed to use that music? Or do I really own this content? Well, this episode is for you. Joining me today is the man known in the industry as the podcast lawyer, trademarked, Gordon Firemark. He's not only a seasoned entertainment and media attorney with decades of experience in theater, film, and digital media, but also a podcaster himself since 2009, and an educator in law schools and beyond. So grab a pen, you'll want to take notes. Gordon, welcome to Hacks and Hobbies. So excited to have you.
Well, hey, Junaid. It's great to be with you. Thank you. And hey, thanks for setting the bar high, calling me a powerhouse right off the bat. I'll see if I can live up to that.
You are too kind and too humble. But it's truly amazing. I mean, you've been in this space and industry for so long, and you've helped countless podcasters, entertainers, artists, entrepreneurs in locking down their trademark, locking down what they want to be called themselves. It's truly amazing to, you know, bring you on.
Well, I'm super glad to be here. It's always fun and good to catch up with friends. So thank you.
Absolutely. So let's kick things off with the big one. What are the most common legal blind spots that creators and podcasters overlook when launching a show or a business?
I would say the most common misconception, I won't call it necessarily a blind spot, but misconception is that, well, they do it on radio, so I could do it on my podcast. And that is not the case when it comes to music. It's not the case when it comes to just sort of winging it with guests and having call-ins and things like that. It's a different medium. And so some different rules apply. And things like copyright law have nuance and variations that, you know, also most people don't quite get why radio is able to do certain things that they do and why the differences exist. So that's sort of what I'm here for, to educate and share so people are armed with the knowledge to protect themselves, stay out of trouble, and really put their best foot forward with their messaging so they can achieve impact and influence and hopefully income.
That's really powerful. And you're absolutely right. When we're talking about podcast versus radio, it's two different types of media, because with radio, it's one time played and it's kind of done, right? You can't really replay it over and over. Whereas with a podcast, you're recording and providing people a file to download. So of course, it's going to be a different set of problems or a different set of rules applied.
Yeah, in the legal language, we talk about radio being an ephemeral medium, and podcasting is a semi-permanent or certainly an evergreen kind of a medium. Mm. So that's why some of the differences exist.
Ephemeral medium. I like that word. Now, Gordon, why do you think creators wait until there's a problem before taking legal steps? Because we've all seen that in movies and TV shows. They're waiting for something happen to then reach out and, you know, talk to a legal attorney or whatnot.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that you're right. People tend to be reactive rather than proactive. And in the podcasting space, but also just generally when it comes to the legal stuff, let's face it, people don't want to have to interface with lawyers. I try to be a personable guy, but I know not all of my colleagues are. And I think there's a lot of fear about it being very expensive and lots of headaches and lots of pushback from their lawyer. You know, when you hire your lawyer, they're supposed to be on your side and on your team and helping you accomplish your goals. And sometimes that does mean telling you, well, we can't do it that way, but hopefully the good lawyers at least come up with, well, and we'll do it this way instead, and that'll get us the solution we need. So I think people need to think more of lawyers as problem solvers and problem avoiders rather than problem fixers, because if it gets that far, the damage is already done.
You're absolutely right, and A really clear example showed up when Anik Singhal, his company, was questioned and, hey, what kind of stuff is he doing? And he had to shut down his entire business because of what was going on. I don't know if you know any of the details on that, what happened.
What I know is minimal. I mean, I have his book. I confess I haven't read it, but you know, whenever you're marketing and promoting products and services, you have to abide by certain truth in advertising rules and disclosure rules and things like that. And when you make promises or even vague statements that could be interpreted as a promise of a certain outcome or a certain income level as a result of this opportunity or those kinds of things, the government gets really sticky about protecting consumers. And ultimately, most of what I will say about half of the laws that we have to worry about and comply with as lawyers, as podcasters and creators, really have to do with that consumer protection. Yeah. Let's not mislead the audience into thinking they're going to get some amazing result from, you know, buy my course and you'll never have to worry about anything ever again. Well, it's just, let's face it, that's not true.
So, that is absolutely not true at all. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's a fine line, right? It's a fine line, and you want to make sure that you're on the right side of the law. You're on the right side of the customers. You don't want to take them for granted because they are coming to you as somebody. Hey, you're at least two exits in front of me. Tell me what's actually coming down the road.
Right. Now, so yeah, it's me. I'm here to blink my headlights, let you know there's.
That's right. I'm like, hey, don't go here. Keep going here. Talk to us a little bit about IP ownership contracts and guest agreements that when we're, because as podcasters, we're bringing people on our podcast and we're sharing the information.
Yeah.
What does that look
like? Well, there's
like?
A couple of sort of big fallacies that fall into this arena. So, you know, first of all, the goal really is to make sure you own what you think you own, right? And a lot of us think that, well, I paid for it, therefore I own it. I hired someone to do this work for me. Therefore, whatever they've created belongs to me. And unfortunately, that's not the way copyright law works. When you're creating a work of authorship, whether it's a podcast episode, a poem, a painting, a poster for, you know, website design, whatever, if you're using an independent contractor rather than an employee, then the independent contractor actually is the owner, considered the author of the copyright and therefore the owner of it. And so then it comes down to what does the contract say between you and that author. And most often there isn't a written contract to look to. And so we fall to these default rules. That's the problem. So step one is if you're using independent contractors, make sure you have a written contract that articulates that you, the customer, own the work, that it's a work made for hire, or alternatively, that it's the copyright is transferred to you upon payment or something like that.
Yeah.
So that you know that you own, know what you own and control. You know, there are other scenarios that you can get into. The truth is when you, another component of this, I guess, is when you get together with other people to create something together, it's considered a joint work and all of the people are considered authors and therefore owners, unless there's some clear evidence of a different intention at the time they started working together.
Yeah.
So think about that guest who comes on your show. You're creating an episode of content together. Unless it's pretty clear that they're just a guest and that you own everything, they're going to be considered a co-owner, joint owner, and they have all the same rights of any other copyright owner. That's probably not what most podcasters want. So that's why I advocate always use a written contract or guest release with your guests. And I'm very happy to have been able to make one available for free for folks. It's at podcastrelease.com. So
we'll be sure to include that link as well because there's so many podcast hosts coming online and they don't realize how many different little nuanced things that they need to have in place so that they can own the content or own, you know, own the rights to the conversation that they're having. Now, as we're talking about IP ownership, contracts, guest agreements on the podcast, but there's so much more there to delve into. Give us a story or what's one story or client experience that drove home how crucial this is in the state, in the place where you're setting up legal prep as a creative protection rather than just paperwork.
Yeah, well, my the sad favorite story of mine deals with trademark protection and whether or not you're going to, you know, secure the protection for the brand that is your show title. And if you've chosen something really distinctive, that's great. But as soon as others start to come into the marketplace and use the similar term or similar phrase, then that starts to confuse the marketplace. So that's why we advocate for register your trademark for your show title as early in the game as possible, so you don't have that problem. One very famous, very prolific podcaster who's been around since the very earliest days had come up with a really solid podcast title that had sort of a key buzzword in the title. And you probably know who I'm talking about, but I don't want to out him as because he's a client of mine.
Right.
Anyway, 13, 14 years in, this other outfit comes up. They start getting their activities going. They're going to start up a podcast, and they file an application on what's called an intent to use the name basis. And that intent to use application gives them some time to get started. So they file their application. He learned about them before they filed, but it was just a day or two difference. And so by the time we filed his trademark application, they had already filed theirs. Even though he's been using it for 13 years, they haven't used it yet at all. And trademark law does depend on use. But once that application was in, they took priority and were able to block our application.
Wow.
We had some legal options and things like that. Some things happened and time passed and we missed out an opportunity on one of them. But that meant we had to wait until they either started using it and then the registration went through, and we could have brought a lawsuit to cancel that registration, or we just waited. And it turns out after, it was almost 4 years, they never did launch their show. But all those 4 years, my guy is sort of stuck in limbo wondering, is he going to be able to protect this brand?
Yeah.
When finally we had a positive outcome, but it was really just luck that we were able to get there without too much legal expense. And the same exact scenario just came up for me again recently. A woman who had started a show in 21 called me up because now, a few weeks ago, another show started up and they've got 7 or 8 episodes out. And we tried the catch more flies with honey approach and reached out to them, and they were rude in response. So I guess we have to take some action. So
wow. You're so right. The sooner we register our trademark or the name that you tend to use, the better it is. There's a company out there in, I think, Indonesia that has the same name as my company, the overarching company. And I'm like, they have the Instagram name, but I was like, I can't take that Instagram name, even though they're not doing anything, which is totally fine because I don't actively use that company name for promotions.
Well, that's another thing we need to talk about real quick is that, you know, these brand names are, the protection, I should say, is territorial. So had you registered your name here in the States, it might not have prevented them from adopting it for an Indonesian company either. But, you know, the goal is really protect yourself where your market is, where your folks that are most likely to use your services and goods are going to see you. But yeah, if you could have locked down that Instagram handle, that would have been
Instagram. Exactly. That's the one thing that everybody says, right? If you come up with a name, look for the same name on all the different platforms so that you're in sync and, you know, people can find you wherever you go. Gordon, let's come back to the podcaster.
Sure.
Because your podcast is your property.
Mm-hmm.
What's the podcaster mindset? You often say that your podcast is your intellectual property. What's the simplest way for creators to protect their content from day one? And I know we touched a little bit on it in the earlier conversation.
Yeah, we talked about the trademark, which of course is how you protect the title of your show. The content itself is covered by copyright law. And the great news about copyright law is that the protection exists from the moment the work is created. So the moment you press record or attach pen to, you know, run pen across paper or ink on canvas, whatever.
Yeah.
You own a copyright in what you've created. And what that protects is your right and your exclusive right to make copies of that thing, to distribute it, to display or perform it if it's that kind of a work, or to make things that are derivative or based on it. So that's where someone takes a big chunk of your show and uses it in their YouTube video or something. Technically, that's probably a copyright infringement. There's some defenses and exceptions and things. But so the good news is it's protected from the outset. You can register copyrights and get a little enhanced protection that gets you attorney's fees and you don't have to prove actual out-of-pocket damages and things like that. But, you know, there's an expense associated with that. So good news is you own a copyright the moment you create the work. And
perfect.
You can enforce that.
That's awesome because I've been creating since, you know, 2018, all this content and interviews. So good to know that I do have copyright in that space. But when do you recommend podcasters form an LLC or trademark a name or file for that copyright?
Yeah, well, the LLC one is a bit of a moving target. You know, we lawyers, our favorite phrase is it depends, right? So...
And designers really too.
Yeah. And in this case, it really does depend on how much money are you making in the podcast? How much money is the venture bringing in? Also, what are the expenses looking like? What does the risk exposure, liability exposure look like? With podcasts, depending on the kind of show you do, there could be very high risk or fairly moderate risk. I won't say there's low risk or no risk in podcasting because... all it takes is saying something wrong about a person or a brand or something, and all of a sudden you've got hot water coming up around your knees.
Yeah.
So a little bit of a moving target. I think that's the kind of thing you have a conversation with a lawyer and and your tax people with, just to make sure you're not spending more than you need to protect yourself. But I do think it's a good idea when you're starting to get into the $100,000 income range or when you have a lot of risk. The trademark... sooner the better, as far as I can say. I mean, once you're sure you're going to stick with this thing, you know, there's that apocryphal thing about podcasters often don't make it past 7 or 8 episodes. So I'd say if you get to 10 episodes, you definitely want to be exploring this.
All right. So I should definitely be exploring it since I'm at the 800 episode mark.
Yeah, I think so. It's probably not a bad idea. And then on the copyright, like I said, the registration is available, but... you know, I would start looking at, do you have cornerstone episodes that are most likely for someone to come along and take clips from or something like that? Yeah. Unfortunately, there's no way to register groups of copyrights in the podcasting space. You can register a record album with 10 songs on it, right? Can't do that with a podcast yet. We're kind of trying to lobby Congress quietly to get something done in that arena. But I don't know, the current Congress, anything goes with what we can get them to do, so...
And talking about the current Congress or whatever, what have you, recently I think somebody's in hot water because of what was a South Park said on their show. It's a $1.5 billion problem that this production company is facing because of what they said on this show. And I'm like, wow, that's really interesting. Freedom of speech and whatnot. But well, anyways...
a little background on that, actually, because it was Paramount paid the creators, Trey Parker and Matt Stone, of South Park. As soon as the deal went through with Skydance for the approval of that merger, that was part of what the government was involved in. They paid, they purchased the rights to South Park for the next several years. And that's, and then immediately after the deal went through, South Park released this episode that's hypercritical of the president and makes a mockery. So it's not really a problem with the government, at least that we know of. Not, but it was $1.5 billion for for an opportunity to stick a thumb in the government's eye very quickly.
All right. Now, if somebody's listening right now, thinking I've already published 100 episodes, and I mentioned I've got 800, but didn't do any of this, what's the first thing that they should do?
I would say the trademark protection is probably, well, again, it's a judgment call. Are you, is it likely someone's going to come in and adopt? If you've got 800 episodes, then odds are you're pretty visible. People are going to recognize and maybe stay away from that title, especially if it's a very distinctive title. But that's, I would say definitely the trademark protection is on the radar. If you don't have an LLC and you're generating revenue and you're doing this kind of thing, I'd say that's pretty high as well. But before any of that, I would be focusing on, do we have contracts with everybody? Are we working in a business-like way going forward. I don't know that I would reach back for guest releases from every guest who's been on and that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's just time to start getting your affairs in order and thinking like a business, because you're building assets that you want maybe eventually to someday either sell or bequest to your heirs or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the more you can do to get those all into one container and under clear lines of protection and ownership, the better.
That's an excellent point and excellent advice for sure. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I can take, and other podcasters that are on this space can also take, like, hey, what action or what container is protecting your podcast, no matter, you know, how far you want to take it and whatnot.
Yeah. And I usually think of that LLC as being the container for that. And then everything else can sort of be put into it.
Perfect. Now, one question that I get from students and creators all the time is, do I need a guest release form? What's your take?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
No bones about it. No, it depends in this instance. I think it's the easiest, simplest protection you can have against sort of that weird claim that comes from some guest you had on who now wants you to take the episode down, either because they don't like you anymore or they don't like something you said on a newer episode. You know, you create it, you put your assets and investing your resources. It should be yours to do with as you please. So, yeah.
Perfect. And you also had mentioned earlier that you have a guest release form.
Yeah, free podcast. Yeah, podcastrelease.com. And in exchange for your email address, and you'll hear from me a little bit afterwards, I'm happy to give you a really well-drafted release form you can use. And, you know, most guests are willing to sign, and the ones who aren't, I think that's a red flag that they're the kind of person who's going to make trouble in other areas too.
Now, we are in a space in an era where AI tools are, you know, more apparent. Is it like a guest release form becomes even more important, I'm guessing, with AI tools cloning voices and video? Because now that I have this full video of you, or, you know, full voice of you, there's tools out there that can clone even with like a minute of audio or a minute of video, which is kind of mind blowing. Talk to us about this and how that's going to change.
Yeah, these tools are, I mean, let's face it, they're amazing. They're really robust tools for making, I mean, I think we use them, or most of us intend to use them, to make ourselves and our guests look and sound better.
Yeah.
The risk, though, and I think what a lot of folks are concerned about, is the deepfake, where that material gets used or turned into something that they didn't intend. You're putting words in their mouth, changing the meaning of what they've said or how they look, those kinds of things. And so in my podcast release, I actually have a proviso that says, yes, you can use AI tools to edit the episode, but no, you can't change the meaning or the context of things. And so, you know, it's fine to use it to sweeten the sound or improve how things look. And I think that assuages a lot of concerns from potential guests that they're going to be deep faked all into who knows what. The truth is, most of the deep fakes are coming from people who haven't even talked to you about it.
That's true. That is true. That is very, very true. They're the bad actors in the space that are, you know, just trying to create more division between us in the world.
Absolutely.
This is so important. I absolutely love it. And what's cool is that we're moving so fast into an age where our voices and faces can be replicated with a few prompts. It's wild. I think, I don't know if you probably saw where, was it Sean or was it somebody else who used Anik, because Anik Singhal's thing, but it's basically Google VO is trained on Anik already because of how much video he has out there. So you could easily like say a prompt, hey, I want Anik standing behind a 7-Eleven bar, you know, selling me Pepsi or something.
Right. And, you know, there are legal claims that the person who's been a victim of this can bring.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's part of, again, the reason for a release agreement or some kind of contract is them promising not to sue over that kind of thing, if that's what you're asking them to do.
Yes.
But yeah, we're definitely in a world where these technologies are moving a little faster than we can anticipate what's next. And so
100%.
We're in that sort of reaction defensive mode a bit.
Awesome. Well, Gordon, let's talk about the creator's legal toolkit. Mm-hmm. Let's get tactical for a second. If someone's just starting a creative business or podcast, what are the top three legal tools or steps you'd recommend that they set up immediately?
Well, I mean, if you're a do-it, if you're a done-for-you kind of a person, you want these things taken care of, then that's call me. Reach out to me, gordonfiremark.com. Fortunately, I have a great distinctive name that people will remember and can find pretty easily. But if you're more of a do-it-yourself type, I have a couple of different solutions available. I do offer a set of forms and templates that folks can access that will give them the kinds of release forms and contracts and co-host agreements and co-producer agreements and all those kinds of things over at podcastlawforms.com. And if you're really the do-it-yourself type and you want to learn more about this stuff and how to form that LLC and how to register your own trademarks and copyrights and write your own contracts, then I also have an online course called Easy Legal for Podcasters. That's sort of the creator's toolkit I think you're referring to.
Yes, I love it. This is creator empowerment through clarity and not fear, because a lot of people are using fear, but you're like, hey, here's all the things that you need to know. Here's the tools, here's the education. And if you want more, if you want more clarity, come to me. You're available for them to help.
Exactly.
Gordon, I can already tell that this conversation could easily go for hours, but I also know that our audience and you deserve a proper break to digest all this gold. So here's what we're going to do next. We're splitting this into a two-part series. This was just part one, where we laid the foundation, talking about protecting your content, understanding IP, contracts, and the real legal risks that creators might face. But in part two, we're going even deeper. We'll unpack the biggest branding mistakes podcasters make legally, how AI and deepfakes are reshaping creator rights, and what every entrepreneur should know about scaling with protection baked in. So Gordon, hang tight with me. We'll hit pause here and pick back up right after this. And to our listeners, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss part two of this incredible conversation with the podcast lawyer himself, Gordon Fiermark. Gordon, before we wrap up this segment, where can folks go right now to dive deeper into your world?
Well, gordonfiremark.com is sort of my web hub for things that I do. And on social media, gfiremark is the handle almost everywhere. Instagram, it's my full name, Gordon Fiermark. But that's the way.
Perfect. This is the way. All right, Gordon, let's talk to you in just a minute. Awesome, guys. All that and more is coming your way in part two. See you in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to this Hacks and Hobbies episode. Junaid would love to hear from you, so please leave a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts. Visit hacksandhobbies.com to find additional information on the guest today, as well as the show notes.